Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, greetings, Bark Radio listeners, on this cold, wintry day. We're going to talk about usually a warmer place. I'm not sure. I think they've been slammed a little bit with some winter weather, too. But there's some stuff going on in Texas, isn't there, Terry?
There is. I saw a really neat article yesterday. Well, neat on one aspect.
And the other piece of it is not so good.
It's not so good, yeah. The animal shelter in Austin is still a kill facility.
Which means dogs in, dogs dead.
Yeah, dogs and or cats.
Right.
And the last year they put down about 6,100 dogs and cats.
That's a lot of animals put to death.
That's really is. Because Austin's not a giant city. I mean, right. It's a good-sized city, but that's still a lot of pets.
Yeah.
For a single year. And there's a nonprofit group that has put out a proposal to the city, and it's Austin Pets Alive.
Okay.
And they're a rescue group, as it is. They're fairly large, fairly well-known in Texas. But they put out a proposal to actually take over running the city shelter.
So it would not be a kill facility
anymore.
It would
be a no-kill shelter.
Oh, how fabulous would that be?
That would be very cool. Now, of course, there's hoopla around it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The naysayers seem to be mostly the people that are working there today who are
at the shelter.
At the shelter,
right.
Who are saying that they're doing a fine job.
Well, if they believe that doing a fine job includes killing over 6,000 animals a year, perhaps they need to redefine for themselves what doing a good job is.
set the bar a little higher?
Just a tad, yes. Oh, my goodness. No, those are bad numbers.
That's a lot of pets.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for it.
And so it's the nonprofit working through the city of Austin,
right,
making this proposal.
They're making the proposal, and it's going to the town council meeting. And,
cool.
And it's written up. It's been submitted, I believe, based on the article that I read.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have to go through the exercise. I've got a good feeling about it because, one, it saves the city money.
Right.
And two, it's a great program that can be modeled other places.
Absolutely.
So if you can start getting the county-run, the city-run shelters into a volunteer-based organization, a stronger one that actually is trying to place animals, even in the best no-kill facilities, you still have sick or dying animals,
right,
that come in. And so you never have an absolute zero, but you can have single digits.
Right. Tiny, tiny little percentage.
Tiny little percentage,
yeah.
Because there's just nothing you can do.
Right.
And that's where they want to go with it. And I think they've got a real shot at it. And the city's seriously considering it, and I'm sure it's all strictly financial. It's not about the dog or cat's,
right,
welfare. It's about money.
And as long as you can come in with that proposal that shows you'll save them money, you have a really good chance of getting the thing approved.
Yeah. So what I've done is I contacted the folks at Austin Pets Alive to see, mm-hmm, if we could do an interview, because I think this would just rock.
Oh, yeah, man. I hope we get to do that. And that'll enable us to follow it and hopefully follow it to the point where it becomes, and then follow it like for a year after it becomes to see the differences,
yeah,
in the kill numbers.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things, because Austin Pets Alive now works with the shelter,
mm-hmm,
and they're the shelter folks are trying to get the animal
out
to
what
some
they
level.
Can.
They do,
right,
what they can with what they've got. And to date, they say that Austin Pets Alive has saved at least 2,000 dogs coming out of there.
That's great.
And that's great. But if they've got a mechanism, let them take and run with it.
Absolutely. Man, I hope so much this works. And like you said, Terry, you know, the idea of a no-kill nation, it just starts with individual shelters and individual towns and cities. And, you know, you flip one, then you flip another. And wouldn't it be fabulous if in our lifetime we could see this become a no-kill nation?
Well, there's people with a lot of goals to get there, and,
yeah,
and there's mechanisms to do it. I mean, it really started with the founders of Best Friends. They were really the grassroots folks going, hey, we can do this in a no-kill way.
Right.
You know, probably the other most outspoken person that I know, at least in this arena, is Nathan Winograd from,
right,
No Kill Nation,
right,
who is both controversial and a phenomenal animal advocate,
right,
which someday we got to get him on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
We just got to get schedules to align. But,
right.
I think that, you know, I look at what's happening and the movement that's happening, and you say, you know, that can happen. In 5 years, this can be the U.S. can be a no-kill nation.
Absolutely. And it just takes, like you're saying, the mechanisms have to be there. The model has to be there. And that exists because of Nathan and best friends and that sort of thing. The model's there. You start presenting that to these cities and municipalities one by one. You know, all of a sudden now you've got numbers, you know, from a dozen different localities, you know, in a year, say, you know, who are doing it and doing it well. And it's, again, that volunteer base that's so huge. And I don't care where you are, you're going to find that constituency, that group of people who love animals so much that they will give of their time and their energy to save their lives.
Yeah. And there's a lot of us out there.
Oh, for God's sake, yeah, there absolutely is. So this is a cool one, folks. We'll keep following it, and you go APA.
Yes, APA.
Absolutely. Cool beans. All right, what's next?
Well, the next one is an interesting piece I've been following this week. And everything's always interesting at some level. So this is about Rachel Ray.
What about her? Now, guys, I don't know what's coming, so stay tuned.
The initial flurry of angry emails from dog people, the initial report was that Rachel Ray's American Pit Bull Terrier had attacked another dog for this being the sixth time, and actually removed the ear of that dog, and she was fearful that they were going to have to put the dog down. Okay, so that's kind of a really generic statement.
Right.
Where are the facts coming from?
Right.
But, of course, people are knee-jerking it, and there's, you know, hate mail going out.
Of course.
So, digging around, because that's what I do. I'm an investigator.
Absolutely. He's on the job every day, folks.
Every day I have to think about these things, because it didn't make sense.
Right.
There's a lot of things that didn't fit. There's contradictory in information because she's always said the dog's a rescue, and somebody else is saying that she bought the dog from a breeder and had this official quote-unquote looking document. It all became more and more suspicious the more I dug.
So tell me what you found.
Well, the source, and again in quotes, is from the National Enquirer.
Oh, there you go.
That, supposedly an exclusive. I think that it's an exclusive because Bigfoot was busy that day and there was nothing else to do but pick on Rachel Ray.
Now,
frankly, this could be true.
Right.
I do not know. But if the initial source is from that...
Right. It makes you really wonder.
People give her a break until you find out a real story. Because I haven't seen it in any of the real news wires.
Right.
I've seen it come out. I call it sort of the Underground Railroad for the dog stuff. So all these email groups that I subscribe to and I work with... hate mail flurry, but I don't see any official announcement. And to me, if Rachel Ray's dog attacks someone or another dog, it's going to be national news.
Oh, it would be on the evening news everywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
And I've not seen a word of it. And the first thing that caught my attention saying, well, this doesn't make sense, is the fact that if the dog's attacked six times and nobody's done nothing, the only way that could happen is she paid off everybody.
Right.
And even then, you can only go so far before they have to step in and say,
absolutely,
this dog's dangerous.
Six is, it's nonsense.
It's nonsense.
So you'll keep an eye out looking for
a press release
or something from
Rachel
Ray.
This is a hoop to watch.
Yeah. So guys, just remember that, man. Don't believe everything you read and only half of what you see.
Yeah. And, you know, this sort of leads into something that we've talked about a little bit in the past, which is like misinformation campaigns.
Right.
So my gut feel, based on where some of this data is coming from, is it was a half rumor from someone who doesn't particularly like the breed anyway, or doesn't like what she does,
or doesn't like her. Yeah.
Doesn't like her.
Right.
And so they're going to do this misinformation campaign,
right,
which gets people riled up. There's no basis for fact on it. It happens all the time. Corporations do it all the time.
Right.
That's what made me think this is what was happening. It's more of that.
Right.
The facts that you know, you can't use, can't imagine quoting the National Enquirer for anything.
Right. Who would do that?
Who would do that?
And who would get angry or happy based on anything they read that is produced by the National
Enquirer?
Well,
I laugh at it.
Well, yeah. That's true. It does produce giggles.
I love the Bigfoot stuff.
Oh,
anyway.
Man. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. And if Terry runs across anything that's actually factual about it, we'll share it with you.
We'll share it. But I think it's BS.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sounds like it. Good one, Terry.
So, a different note, and this was something I saw Monday, and I don't know if you saw the news, local news for Richmond, but Richmond Animal League opened their low-cost spay and neuter clinic.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. I want to go check it out. And we've got an opportunity to interview with them.
Oh, excellent.
But I haven't set up any times or anything because I'm waiting for them to open. I thought we could actually go to the facility, take a tour,
yeah,
and do the whole thing.
Do the interview right there.
Do the interview right there. So it's pretty cool. There's no limitations on criteria of income or where you live. If you're within driving distance and you schedule appointment,
they will spay or neuter your dog.
Spay or neuter your dog for a very small fee.
That's wonderful. Yeah. You go, Richmond Animal League.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, yeah, I can't wait to go visit.
Yeah, we just need to schedule time.
Cool. All right. Next. I know.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Terry's volunteering.
I am. Like, I have a lot of free time. But.
Yeah, man. So where are you volunteering, Terry?
Out at BARC, Virginia.
BARC, Virginia.
Yeah, BARC, VA.
Not BARC Radio.
No, BARC, Virginia. A rescue group in Ashland, Virginia.
And that's where Sparkman came from.
That's where Sparky's from, yeah. And I went out there for my first day of work this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And had a blast, although I was very tired when I come out of there.
'Cause how many hours did you spend?
Almost 4 hours there walking dogs.
Wow. And, in the cold. Brr.
In the cold. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun.
That's fabulous. So you're going to be a regular out there now.
Yeah.
As much as work allows.
I'm going to try to get out there, you know, once a week.
That's great.
And help. Hopefully everything will work out for that. Some fabulous dogs out there, which, I mean, what dogs aren't fabulous, but just phenomenal. And BARC really has put a lot of time and effort into organizing not only the crews that they use, because they mm-hmm. have very senior type volunteers there, but even bringing in people that are once or twice a year type volunteers. So the JCs were out there when I was there.
Oh, wow, that's fabulous.
And they come out once or twice a year, is my understanding, and they do the thing. And you've got the senior people leading the rookies.
The junior people, yeah.
And so it's a little bit of organized chaos.
Hey.
But it all fell together and worked very well. You know, kennels got clean, dogs got walked, water fed, played with.
And guys, remember that. You know, if your life doesn't quite feel complete and you love animals, there are lots of volunteer things you can do in the animal world, and this is just typical of one of them. You know, find a rescue group that's near you and volunteer. Give them a call. They always need more people to do all kinds of things.
Always. Yeah, whether it's working at the actual shelter facilities
right.
or out at adoption events or any
right.
of that, they can always use help.
Right. So bravo, Terry. That's fabulous.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Cool beans. Okay, so you had one last one.
I had one last thing, and this was just something that was kind of funny because it was a very interesting conversation with somebody who I didn't know was a dog person. I have a massage therapist who's working on my shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and we were just chatting about dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a spiritual type person,
mm-hmm.
and talking about how dogs interact with us. And I had a belief. So
mm-hmm.
My belief is there's a very empathetic type relationship with the dogs. They read energy very well. I believe the energy is there and the dogs can sense it and react to us.
Absolutely, I agree.
So we talked about that a little bit. We talked about she was sick and her dog really spent her time right with her in the bed and did nothing wrong with the dog, just sat there and nurtured
took care
her.
Of her.
Took
mm-hmm.
care of her.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation led to the fact that her husband had cancer earlier. He got better, but both dogs developed cancer. So his went away and theirs went, and theirs developed, and they both passed from it. And so then the conversation started going a little bit more woo-woo, is what I call it.
Yep, because you're talking about transference.
Transference, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, believe whatever you want to believe, but it was a conversation that made me go,
Yeah,
no.
That would make you go, if you are at all a spiritual person, and if you believe, as we do, like in the power, as Paul, our friend, said recently, the power of dogs, I would not say that's impossible.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, you just go, like you said.
You know,
who knows?
In her story, at least, it was far too coincidental that
mm-hmm.
his, you know, colon cancer suddenly
wow.
went away. You know, it went through the normal treatments and it was just gone. but then the dogs develop some cancer shortly after. Now, you know, there's people that argue there's other things, and it's age related, or it's from the chemicals he was,
right.
You know, whatever it is. And I don't know. I don't claim to know. And this episode isn't meant to explain that. It's just meant you to go,
It's thought-provoking. It's thought-provoking. And we're so involved in the dog world, Terry and I, that this sort of thing we don't dismiss out of hand, because dogs do miraculous things every day.
Yeah.
And I think it's just something that is really good food for thought and a great way to end this episode.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Good job, Terry.
All right, I guess we're done then.
Yeah, later.
Hey, let's go get some coffee.
Yeah, man.